Good morning, church. It is such a blessing to be with you this morning. As we begin, I want to begin by saying thank you. Thank you so much for the great amount of love and care that you have shown me and my family over the past few weeks. It's been such a blessing. I am feeling somewhat stronger. Trying to get my strength back, but I'll do as my dad used to say, I'll just hold on to the chariot if I need to today. Very thankful for the care in which you have shown our son Aaron. I got a text one minute ago, I think, that said that Samantha is on the way back from the hospital to his apartment with him now. So he's been discharged from the hospital, and now Dr. Sam can take over. And he can get the care that he needs. So thank you so much. It's great this morning to be with you. I'm blessed in so many ways. Beautiful day, beautiful people. I'm so happy to have my mom here with me this morning. Precious. Her sister is with her, my Aunt Susan, my favorite aunt in the whole world. She laughs because she's my only aunt, but she is the best. And so, what more could I ask for? You know, over the past few weeks, we've been engaged in a series of sermons. It's really been challenging us to look at ourselves, as Terry said, to look at ourselves in the mirror, look at our walk with the Lord, and what we should or may need to do to be improving on, growing towards, elevating. We've been challenged to elevate our integrity, which is, for a lack of a better description, about how and where we draw our lines in the sand, so to speak. I declare not only by my words, but in conjunction with my actions, who I am, whose I am, what I believe, what I will and won't do, what I will and won't say, what I will and won't participate in. And I create for myself these boundaries. I grow spiritually as these determined set of commitments that I've made help mold and form me into that tree that is set by the river, as Scripture teaches us. I'm ever developing with God's help, developing these deep and strong roots. We also touched on elevating our humility, and I think this is a lesson that probably, but maybe we need to hear a little more often. Reminding us of our place in this existence. Yes, we are the chosen, but we are not the chooser. We are the created, we are not the creator. We serve a risen Savior who is our King. We are sinners saved by the blood of Jesus. We aren't special because of us. We're only special because of Him. We fly His banner. It's His banner we fly. It's His message we preach. And I only testify to my story to share what Jesus has done for me. We were blessed to hear about elevating our loyalty to this same precious Jesus. He's never forsaken us. He has never let us down. He's given everything for us, and we are bound by this to declare and to live a life of loyalty to Him. Amen. What about authenticity? Justin provided us such a powerful message that really, church, reopened my eyes to the power and influence our authenticity can yield. In a world that's screaming for authenticity for all the wrong reasons, being our authentic selves, displaying loyalty, humility, integrity. Wow. What a meaningful and impactful life it can be. And then last week, Terry spoke to us about courage. And you know, courage is really that catalyst or the glue that helps make all these other attributes flourish to their potential. The greatest thing to keep in your pocket or in your mind is that courage is elevated, it's transformed, it is multiplied by the amazing fact that Jehovah, the God of the universe, is always right beside us. You can face anything and anyone knowing that you'll never have to face it alone. Never. So, this morning I want to talk about another important choice that we have to make in order to be successful as an individual in life, as a believer in their personal walk with the Lord, and as a congregation of the Lord's people, the Lord's church. I like to bring up one of my sweet friends to help me introduce our lesson today. Several months ago, Samantha and I had the privilege of beginning to work with Outdoor Bible again. And we were teaching the front porch. And in that lesson, we were teaching about the story of David and Jonathan. And Ethan and Gabriel were our little teenage helpers, our actors, and we all kind of struggled through getting through that lesson, trying to impact on this youngest age group in Outdoor Bible this, what it means to have a great friend, the great friendship that Jonathan and David had. A lot of details about that lesson. And so at the end of that lesson, as you normally do to try to reinforce everything that you had done taught, I asked the question to the class. I said, can anybody tell me now the story of David and Jonathan? And you know what happens. Every kid wants to be the first one to raise their hand. That was Melanie. So I said, okay, Mel, tell me the story of the friendship of David and Jonathan. And so she began to tell it. And she, like probably I did, we would get to a certain point, we'd stop, and we'd scratch our head, and we'd think, and we'd stutter, and then this happened. And then this happened. And before you know it, Melanie had told the story of David and Jonathan. Precious. I was happily stunned. And I said, great job, Mel. Way to go. That is exactly right. And listen, she said the most precious thing right then. She said, it was difficult, but it was worth it. When class was over, I told Samantha, I said, when this child said that, my head exploded. I had a whole sermon. I was inspired by what you said to the sermon that I'll preach this morning. I went downstairs. We were having fellowship back then. And I told Brandy what had happened. I told Jeff. Out of the mouths of babes. Melanie, I'm very proud of you. I love you very much. Miss Samantha will get mad that I'm doing this because I'm not supposed to bend down. But I want to give you a hug. You were so sweet. Now, right in front of Mr. Terry, next to my mama, is a gift bag. If you'll just pick that up and take that. Listen, story doesn't end there. One long after that, I got a text from Terry. He and Justin and I are in a text group. And Terry said, man, it just hit me. I've got this series of lessons I want to do between now and the end of the year, and there's a lot of them. He asked Justin and I, he said, if y'all can take one. Justin took authenticity. And I think Terry was even thinking about number 7 on the list for me. Perseverance. Church, if we opened our eyes long enough to see the amazing things that God can do, it would blow your mind. So, we're going to talk about authenticity this morning. No, we're not. I don't know why that word's in my mind. We're going to talk about perseverance this morning. Let's talk about elevating our perseverance. You know, certainly we've all had to push through things in our lives that were difficult. maybe toward a goal or some type of outcome. Maybe we had to push ourselves more than ever to reach it. We may have even surpassed our own expectations in doing it. It's likely that there was some measure of sacrifice needed. It may have been stressful. It could have been uncomfortable. Maybe unpopular. It may have been that it was a lonely journey for you. You may have been the only one who believed you could do it. You may have overcome some powerful obstacles, some addictions, some temptations. To one extent or another, we've all been there in our own way, in our own lives. Listen to me. I would never minimize the difficult and possibly even tragic things that we've had to go through in our lives. But the most important thing that we must focus on right now is how can we persevere in our spiritual lives? You may be thinking, George, why are you getting so worked up? Well, first of all, it's kind of what I do. But why? Well, I want to be clear about that, actually. You see, there's only one race that you'll run, church. There's no multiplicity of races, no chances to do better in the next race. We have one shot. We have one life. We don't have the luxury of thinking, well, I'm only 42 or 56 or 27. I have plenty of time. Wrong. You don't have time, church, because you don't own time. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while, and what does it do? It vanishes away. Have you ever tried to control a vapor? You can't. It's fleeting. It's here, and you can see it, and then it's gone. We're not playing church here this morning. We pray to a living God. We memorialize a risen Savior who is coming back. I have to be ready. I have to persevere however long it is. It could be past the end of my life on this earth, or it could be today. So there are a few things that I believe that we need to do in order to elevate our perseverance through a life of faith with faithfulness. We turn to our text that was read to us this morning from Hebrews chapter 12. Again, that text is verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, excuse me, I know the first thing that we need to do this morning as we think to elevate our perseverance is we got to know the course you're called to run. It says there in the back half of that verse 1, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, the passage itself doesn't give us a clear definition of the course which requires so much persevere, but the context there certainly does. You back up one chapter to Hebrews chapter 11, and what do we see? It spells out for us those that ran the race. The heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 show us a long list of biblical characters who, despite a bundle of circumstances and hurdles, they kept striving to do, listen, what pleased God. Question, how do we know the course? Can't we agree that the open book tests are the preferred kind? I always loved an open book test. I always thought I was very prepared for an open book test. Spiritually speaking, our devotion to God's Word not only outlines the course of the race to be run, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. You may be asking, what does that have to do with the course or the race? Well, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16
says that the gospel is the power, that power of God unto salvation. And where do we read about the gospel, church? In the Bible. I mean, we're also made aware of many substantial helps and assistance that are available to us. And this is critical. You see, the race is a marathon and a lifelong event, so it's vital that we are prepared as possible, understanding the course and the helps that are available. Help like the Holy Spirit, prayer, fellowship, worship, service, the Bible itself, and so much more. You know, when racers prepare for their race, they spend a lot of time looking at detail at the race map. They study every detail so that they know where the traps may be, the difficult sections, the sharp turns. They're as prepared as possible to give themselves the best chance to be successful. There inevitably are surprises and unexpected things that happen, as in life. But they're going to do their best to be as prepared as possible, which means they know the course. The second thing this morning I believe will help us to elevate our perseverance is don't let anything slow you down. Don't let anything slow you down. Back to verse 1. Paul said there, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You see, there are a variety of things that can hinder us in doing what is right. That passage describes two types of hindrances. First, there is the unnecessary things that can tie us up and tie us up our time and get us in our way. And they may not be evil in and of themselves, but they need to be laid aside. And then there are those unrighteous things that trip us up, things that for us are areas of frequent temptation maybe. Again, we're urged that these have to be laid aside. Because you see, failure to deal properly with sin can keep us from living a life of faith, a life of doing what is right no matter how difficult it gets. Let me ask you this. Why do things that cause us stress or pain seem to pull us away from God? Why do difficulties lead us towards sin and away from the Savior? It's really baffling, isn't it? Obviously, some don't struggle with this as much as others, but oh, so many do. Just look around. Look at the empty seats. Sometimes when I see these empty pews that were once occupied by people that we love and we miss, it makes me almost see these empty spots as mausoleums for those who either could not or would not lay aside the weight that clearly beset them. Sin is a terrible thing. It has been so sensationalized in society to the point where Satan doesn't even have to sneak around anymore. It's crept even into the church by way of compromises made maybe in the home at first, and then it's slowly chipped away at our integrity. Sin did that. Sin did that. How do we need to look at sin, my friends? Let me put it this way. Would you agree that disease is in this world today because of sin? Now, listen closely. I'm certainly not saying that we get a disease based on our specific sin. But sin so long ago brought many terrible things into God's perfect creation. So with that context, what I need you to do right now is I need you to think for a moment of how disease has affected those that you love. Sin did that. The devil is awful. And he will do evil and awful things to win a few battles at your expense. That's how we need to look at sin. Get the weight of sin off your back and run the race. Thirdly, this morning, we would do well to remember those who have finished well. You know, at the beginning of verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing that we're so compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses." Such an amazing, use your imagination, you know, you can certainly envision so many things with that. There are many who can testify to God's faithfulness when they have done what is right amid painful and difficult circumstances. Not just people who have gone on to their reward, but even people in our lives, people here today. Hebrews chapter 11, however, is full of these witnesses. Those that paid the price for doing what is right have laid down an example for you and I to follow. I believe this can be an important source of encouragement when weariness and exhaustion set in on the course that is set before us. And then we think about our great example. Our greatest example, Jesus. Verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Listen, we need to learn to value those things which are valuable. Christ is our ultimate example of what it means to do what is right, trusting fully in God, regardless of the cost. Jesus clearly understood the term deferred pleasure. Says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." You know, the cross, it was painful. But there was an assurance of joy that was to be realized on the other side. The immediate investment was hard. It was tough. It was painful. It was tragic. It was traumatizing. But the joyful payoff, it was deferred. Now, I know this is a challenging rule for you and I to live by day, but it's critical for those of us that are seeking to demonstrate godly endurance in doing what is right. And oh, what an example it sets for others. Lastly, this morning, in order to elevate our perseverance, we must know that this perseverance comes with God's approval. Scripture says, and is, talking about Jesus, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. The joyful reality on the other side of the cross included the approval of God. The approval of God can be a significant source of motivation for you and I, and when those times when doing right has a high price tag. We must learn to put other things in their proper perspective, such as pain, for example. We often allow pain to play too big a role in our decision-making. I can attest to that. We must think less of pain and more of God's approval. What about people? Look at verse 3 in our text. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Jesus faced continuous movement of disapproval and opposition from people. He obviously thought less of their approval than God's. If we're to do what's right in the race that we've got set before us, we too need to worry less about what the world thinks, and we need to think more about what God thinks. We must realize that our lives are determined by the choices that we make. We must choose to follow God's purpose for us, and we must choose to persevere. Quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. You keep serving God and you run that race. You live for Him. We also need to realize that failure is not final. One of the most subtle and effective attacks of the enemy is to use our failures to cause us to quit altogether. Again, we have evidence of that. That illustration is one of a race. See, what is most important is not how fast we run the race, but the fact that we keep our focus on the finish line. There's going to be obstacles in our path. There will be failures, but you don't give up. There's a stadium There is a stadium filled with battered and beaten teammates who have already crossed the finish line, church. They are cheering us on. And then perhaps most importantly, there is a coach who is there telling us, come on. We don't want to choose to be a used-to-be or a has-been. We choose to keep pressing toward the mark. The Apostle Paul, from a prison cell, wrote these words in verse 14 of chapter 3. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, friends, if we elevate our perseverance, if we do as Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us, if we're faithful unto death, we'll receive that crown of life. Then when it's all said and done, we're going to be able to say, just like Melanie said, it was difficult, but it was worth it. The lesson is yours this morning. Thank you for being incredible people of God. Thank you for your perseverance and your example to me, to our family, and to this community. Let us all elevate our perseverance as we walk hand in hand towards heaven. If you have any need, won't you come right now as together we stand and sing.